2 Timothy chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It's amazing how God combines these thoughts. Things we think of as not too important, like obedient to parents and unthankful. We don't think that's too big of a deal. But the Lord must, because He puts those with the word unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He says, the closer it gets to me coming, the worse it's going to get for you. The closer it gets to my arrival, the most troublesome times you've ever imagined will come. And we're stuck there in that day. I am convinced, I believe with all my heart, that we are in the last of the last days. And He says when that time comes, it'll be perilous time. But He speaks to our heart, to those who know the Lord and even those of that don't know the Lord. In verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then He says to His people, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I cannot help but think of the verse in Isaiah where Isaiah recognized his day and ours, where he said this, except the Lord of hosts had left us unto us a very small remnant, very small number, small crowd. He says, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. He talks there, and we see in our day the same thought, that the day will come when there will be a small group. There's never been a surprise as far as God's concerned. He is not surprised about the unconcern that's going on in our world today. He is not shocked that the old time way is not appreciated as it once was. Isaiah talked about it. Paul warned Timothy, and he surely warns us, don't expect the numbers to explode. Don't expect the church to fill the world. He says, closer it gets to my coming, it'll seem like the smaller they're getting. It'll get to where they're unappreciated. We're there. Get to where they're undesired. We're there. The old time way, I believe with all my heart, is still the right way. I want to believe that till I die. And since I'm getting older, I won't have to believe it much longer, probably. I do not want to change. I do not want to compromise. And the reason I don't want to change, because I think that's right. If it's right, I don't know why you'd want to change. And He warns us, the closer it gets to His coming, it'll seem like the smaller the group gets. That is not saying that God cannot save. That is not saying God will not save. That is not saying God won't bless and send revival to individuals and to churches and even communities. But he's saying overall, worldwide and certainly countrywide, this thing of the old time way will be pushed to the side. Seem as though it's lessening. I want to be discarded, talked about, and slandered. It should not surprise us what we're seeing. We should realize the day that we're in. In verse 13, he said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Could I say, number one, we should expect problems. He said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I want to tell you, I've been saved 39 years. And when I first got saved, it was bad. I mean, it was real bad. But it's worse now than it was then. In the last few years, I see things getting worse and worse. And that should not surprise us. That should not shock us. That should not astonish us. We should expect problems. He said it would happen. He said evil men and seducers. That word evil means wicked, bad. It means ungodly. It means that the closer it gets to his coming, the worse things are going to get. And more, we're seeing that. The condition of the world, the shape of our nation, nobody can say it has not worsened. Not any thinking person, not any honest person. But that should not surprise us. We should look at the word that we've read today and realize it is exactly what he said it would be like. In verse 1, he says, perilous times shall come. It is coming no matter what. We can't do a thing to stop it. Now again, we can have revival in our own hearts. We can have revival in our churches. We can have revival in our areas and our communities. I'm convinced about that. I believe God will do that to the very end. But he's saying, as far as a whole, it's getting worse and worse. Perilous times shall come. The word perilous means scary. Scary. Dangerous. Difficult. Anybody agree with me? That's where we're at. We're living in a scary time. We're living in a dangerous time. We're living in a difficult time. That should not surprise us. We should expect problems. Verse 2, he talks about blasphemers. I'm not going to go through every word that he describes, but that word blasphemer sticks out in my mind. It means the church house. And the people of God will be slandered and ridiculed and made fun of. The world does not appreciate our old-fashioned way. The world does not embrace the old-fashioned gospel. The world thinks we're crazy. The world thinks we've lost it. We're off the deep end. And that's exactly what he said it would be like the closer it comes to his coming. We should expect problems. We should not be surprised when it comes. They'll slander God and his people. They'll make fun of us and call us ignorant. But they fail to realize, there's a God watching. There's a God who is aware. There's a God who's still on the throne and he's watching what's going on. Now, God moves, and they try to explain it away. He comes and touches hearts. He comes and touches communities. trying to get people to see, hey, I'm still there. I'm still watching. I'm very much aware of what you're doing and how you're living. Here's the world living as they please. And somehow they seem to have forgotten. It just may be that the holy God of heaven has been offended by them. That they have offended the holiness of a God of heaven and earth. And so he sends financial troubles. And they call it reversals in Wall Street and corrections. And he sends weather that devastates. And they call it Mother Nature. He sends sicknesses and diseases that they don't even know how to handle or what to call them, let alone how to heal them. And they just say, it's just the way of the world. It's just the way things happen. God tries to speak and the world ignores it and tries to pretend it isn't as bad as it is. We shouldn't be surprised if that's happening. We should expect problems. He said it was going to come. But I'll be honest, none of that alarms me near as much as what I'm getting ready to say. He said, the closer it gets to me coming, the worse it's going to get out there. Boy, they won't appreciate you. They won't love you. They'll laugh at the church. They'll laugh at your ways. They'll think you're ignorant. And that bothers me. But he doesn't stop the description there. He didn't stop at just what's going on out there. But he moves inside here. And he doesn't just describe the world, but he describes the church. He describes inside the stained glass windows. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It isn't just out there. It isn't just the world getting bad, but it's affecting the church. It's affecting God's people. And he said, I'll describe it to you very simply. They have a form of godliness, but they knew nothing about the power of God. They claim they're right, but they don't know anything to prove that they're right. He said, it's not just out there, but it's in here. And I want to tell you something. I'm seeing it, but I cannot adjust to it. I cannot deal with what I'm seeing in our day. I know it's coming, and I'm seeing it. And I should not be surprised that the problems are coming, but I cannot adjust to it. I cannot deal with it. Hey, he said it's not just out there, but it's inside the church. When it comes to the point to where when the best of the best of God's people are content, we're in trouble. When it comes to the point where the best of the best, the cream of the crop, are content, unmovable, satisfied, leave me alone, don't disturb me, don't bother me, don't ask anything of me. When we come to that point, we're in trouble. And that's where we're at. I speak to preachers. I speak to evangelists, I speak to Christians, and everywhere I hear about, it's the same way. Everybody's satisfied. Everybody's content. No one gets moved anymore. No one's sold out anymore. I'm not, even the best of the best are satisfied. And boy, when we get there, we're in trouble. Now, I know what's going on out there. I realize that. God said it would, but he also said, there's a possibility of us being affected, of us drying up, of us cooling down, of us getting content, of us not wanting to be disturbed, of us not being dedicated, of us not being committed. I'm afraid we're there, folks. I'm afraid we're there. Shouldn't shock us. Shouldn't surprise us. We ought to expect problems, but we should not take it lightly. We should not lay down and play dead. We shouldn't go down the drain with the rest of the world. We should expect problems. Verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. He just mentions a few things that he had to endure. Paul said, I endured afflictions and persecutions and place to place to place. Not just here and there, not just one or two places. He's saying, everywhere I went, I endured the pressure. I endured the problems. I faced the issues. He said, I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Could I say, in this day, we should expect problems. We should expect problems, but also we should endure pressure. Hey, this thing that's going on in the world, this devil made oppression, this battle, this attack from evil, this all-out assault of the devil, there's a pressure involved. It's affecting the entire world. It's affecting the churches. And brother and sister, it's affecting us, me and you. And like Paul, we must say, I will not succumb. I will not give in. Persecutions and afflictions, oh, they come. Problems and heartache and trouble and trials and tears, they come. But like Paul, may we say, I endured them. The Lord delivered me out of them all. We should expect problems. Oh, but listen, we should endure pressure. There's no way to escape the pressure. There's no way to get out of this that's coming, that's already here. We must learn how to trust God and endure what we're facing. We're in trouble. Paul said, it's coming. It's on the way, and we're seeing it. I said, number one, we should expect problems. He said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I said, number two, we should endure pressure. Paul said, I endured me, myself. No, the Lord helped me, and he brought me through the battle. Let me say next, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Not only we should expect problems and endure pressure, we should experience power. Hey, just because we're seeing what we're seeing, just because it's going on like he said it would, does not mean he's lost any power. He is still able. He is more than able. I want to tell you something. We have a God who still has power. We have a God who's still available. We have a God who still can deliver us out of whatever we face. We should expect problems. Oh boy, they're here. We should endure pressure with God's help. But we ought to experience power. He said, but continue thou. Means to stay, remain. No matter what happens, stand. You want to know why the old-time way seems to be dwindling? Because of some people who haven't stood, hadn't stayed, haven't continued. And this atmosphere, this evil influence, this work of the devil, this worldwide, did you hear me? Worldwide attack from the devil has gotten to them. I want to tell you something. If it can get to them, it can get to me. It can get to you. And that's why Paul said, endure, continue thou. Timothy, if everybody quits, don't you quit. If everybody compromises, don't you compromise. We need to realize today like never before, we need some people who will stand no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, no matter whether we appreciate it or not, understood or not, easy or hard, we need to stand. stand. He said, continue thou. Timothy, you stand. You continue. If no one else does, we need to experience that kind of power that'll help us stand when others aren't. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. He said, I'll tell you something. There's something coming. You can't stop it. You can't pray it away. You can't live right it away. You can't stop it. It's coming. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's here. We're seeing it. We're seeing the last day attack from hell. We're involved with what Paul warned Timothy about. We're seeing it right now in our world and in our churches and in our lives. And the one thing he said to Timothy, continue thou. Don't let yourself be overwhelmed. Don't slack off. Don't quit. Don't compromise. If everybody else does, you don't. And I'll tell you something. We better get that in our hearts. Because the last person who has quit was not the last person we know that quit. There'll be more. The last person who slacked off was not the last person we know that slacked off. There'll be more. The last person who got out of church will not be the last person who got out of church. There'll be more. We're not careful. We'll get to looking around. And we'll forget what God said. He said a very small remnant. A very small remnant. A remnant means those that stay. Those that stick. Those that's real. Those that hadn't compromised. Those who haven't given in. He said it will be a very small remnant. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that remnant. I want to be a part of those who said, I'm going to stand in spite of what's going on. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to back up. And anything, I'm going to hunker in more. I'm going to get closer to the Lord. I'm going to, like Paul said to Timothy, continue thou. We need to experience the power. Realize there is a power to help me live in this day. There is a power to help me not quit. There is a power to help me keep walking when others don't. There is a power who gives me strength when others seem like they don't care. There is a power to help me trust God when it seems like nobody cares. There is a power that's available to others, us as God's people. Friend, I want to tell you, we need to experience that power like never before. Can I remind you again? He said, a very small remnant. Seems like that's how God does it. Gideon had 32,000 soldiers. My goodness, that wasn't too good compared to the enemy who outnumbered them at least 3-1. Then God said, you got too many. Wait a minute, I'm not sure I heard you, Lord. I thought you said I had too many. That's exactly right. Long story short, got them to 300 men. 300 men. What about Jesus? Multitudes followed him. I know at one time he fed at least 10,000, 5,000, not counting women and children. No telling how many thousands. But when it came down to the real thing, 11. Where's the multitudes that had followed him? 11 men. After the resurrection, thousands of people had flocked to him beforehand. And in the upper room, there's 120 people. God is not surprised by the number getting smaller. He is not shocked that the remnant is small. He told us it'd be this way. He told us to expect it. But he says to those who are still in that remnant, don't let yourself be overwhelmed by what you're seeing. Don't let yourself be taken down with those that's going down. Don't let what's going on around you affect you. I want to be in the number that stays. I want to be in the number that sticks. I want to be in the number that doesn't quit. We may not be big. We may not be appreciated. We may not even be noticed. But I want to be in the remnant that sticks and stays true and doesn't compromise and doesn't back down. I want to show you something. Some of you have never seen it. The Lord touched my heart to show us this. Do you remember this? June of 2012, I came to this pulpit and I dealt with a contract of the remnant that says, no matter what goes on out there or in here or in the church world, I want to be a part of the remnant that sticks. And there's some people who signed this. I came over here and I signed it that morning. I hadn't even thought about asking anybody else to sign it to that point, if I remember right. I'm not sure when it came to my mind. I had some folks to sign it. I looked over this list this morning. Everybody's not still here, but as far as I know, everybody who signed this is still in church somewhere. The vast majority are still in this church. And what this contract says is no compromise. I refuse to compromise. The world thinks we're crazy for what we believe and how we act and how we dress and how we live and what we think is right and wrong. They think we're crazy. But we cannot let that affect us. No compromise, world. I won't let the world affect me. That's what this no compromise means. I will not look like the world. I will not act like the world. I will not talk like the world. I will not think like the world. This contract of the remnant said, and I hope it'll say again this morning, I'm not going to compromise. I won't compromise with the world. Hey, I won't compromise with the worldly church. This is God's house. This is God's property. This is God's book. We don't compromise about that. We don't back down. You ought to have a different feeling when you drive in the driveway. And listen, our visitors, we have no restrictions, expectations, requests, or demands. Really, we don't. Honestly, we don't. But as a member of this church, we ought to say, I'm not going to compromise. And that's one thing ought to be settled in our heart. We ought to say, I want to live that way. I want to be that way. And if you don't want to be that way, our flesh is still there. You ought to say, I'm going to because it's right. I want to be a part of the remnant. Anybody can kick out. Anybody can compromise. And I want to tell you something. You know how much it takes? That much. You want to know why there's so many liberal churches? Somewhere, somebody moved that much. That's why I'm still strict. That's why some of you don't understand why I ask things of you that I ask. If we compromise that much, before long, we'll be gone. No compromise, no compromise. Not even one step, not a half a step. We got to stand that way. We'll be gone. This world system, this antichrist mentality, this last day attack of the devil will take us down too if we compromise a little bit. This contract means, says, no compromise. No complaints. I got stuff to bellyache about. Things hurt that I didn't know I used to have. Body slowed down. Buzzed. Minds quit working. People aggravate you. People don't understand. Problems every hand. Troubles everywhere you go. You got more problems in one day now than it seemed like you used to have in 10 years. But this contract says, even though I've got things to complain about, I'm still saved. I'm still His. I belong to Him. One of these days I'll get to heaven. My hurting body won't hurt then. Those people that drive me crazy, if they're there, they'll change. The Lord will change them and me, and we'll get along fine. Things I can complain about, don't misunderstand. I'm telling you, hey, I know there's times that there needs to be complaints registered. Things need to be changed. Things need to be dealt with. I understand that, but you know what I'm saying? There's time that we just need to quit complaining about everything that's going wrong. My little feelings don't get satisfied. Things don't go my way. This contract of the remnant says, I ain't going to complain anymore. I'm going to serve God in spite of it. When I get home, it'll be all right then. And until then, you know what? I'm going to endure. This contract says no compromise, no complaints, no competition. You are not my enemy. We're on the same team. And if you know anything about me, you know I love to win. I am competitive from my big toe to my big head. And I want to tell you something, when it comes to the things of God, there's no competition. I'm not fighting against you. I have an enemy that's after me. I don't have time to be in competition against you. There is no competition. We are not fighting against each other. We are not trying to see who outweighs the other, who outshines the other. Well, there's no competition, no conflicts. Person who signs this is saying, if you're going to fight, you'll have to fight with somebody else. I'm not fighting you. I ain't got time to argue with you. I ain't got time to fight with you. The devil's after me. The devil's my enemy. The devil's fighting against me. I've got more time to fight with him than I've got time in this world. I sure don't have time to fight with you. No conflicts. Could I just get real Baptist-ified? If us Baptists could stop fighting amongst ourselves, we'd set the world on fire. We're so busy fussing and arguing and disagreeing. And hey, listen, in this church, as far as I know, there's pretty good unity. But we know Baptists. I know one thing, the Lord's sure going to have to do big work on all of us for us to get along even in heaven, but He will. This says, no more conflict. I'm not fighting with you. If you want to get fussy, you want to get mad at me, go ahead. I ain't fighting back. I got better things to do than to fuss with you. You say, this is weird. Hey, that's a little remnant. It's a small remnant. This contract says no credit. I don't care who gets the credit. I don't care who gets the pat on the back. I don't care who gets the recognition. If you get recognized more than me, I'll pray for you and rejoice. If you get the credit for something I did, I'll rejoice that it got done. This kind of remnant, this kind of contract says we're in it together. No big I's and little U's. We're a team. We're a family. And if God gets glory, that's all I care about. Paul said, there's some preaching, and they're preaching in contention. They're preaching trying to outdo me, trying to make my life harder. You know what he said? I rejoice that Christ is preached. He said, I ain't competition with you, and I don't care who gets the credit as long as Christ gets preached. Then it also says no ceasing. No stopping. No backing down. No giving up. Not letting all this that's going on in this world take me down with it. No ceasing. Could I close with these couple of thoughts? Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Oh, that might be our declaration when we're breathing our last or as He's coming to get us. I didn't give up. I didn't give out. I didn't quit. I didn't compromise. I didn't back down. I didn't let the world affect me. I didn't let what the devil was trying to do get to me. I could have said, don't give up. It'd be so easy. Say, I don't care. Nobody else cares. Why should I care? It'd be so easy to say, everybody's quitting. Everybody's slacking off. Everybody's cold. Nobody cares. It'd be so easy. Let yourself be in that number. That's what the devil's wanting. That's what he's trying. That's what he's doing. That's what the attack's all about. He wants us to get to where we just give up and quit. And it's affected so many people, and they have already. It's so easy to think, why even try? Why even try? Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give in. God is still God. There's still people lost. Can't quit now. They're not saved yet. There's somebody needing our help. We can't quit now. We can't give up now. There's somebody, maybe God could use me to help them. Maybe I can help somebody. Maybe somebody's down this morning and I could just say a word to them and it'd help them and encourage them. You can't give up now. Can't quit now. God's not through with us. God hasn't come yet. The Lord hasn't come. The rapture hadn't happened. We ain't dead yet. God's not through with us. Someone needs to stand. Someone needs to say, I will if nobody else does. Don't give up and don't give in. It can happen to anybody. And I'll be honest, I believe probably, even though you're here on a Sunday morning, it's happened to some folks right now in this church building. You're here, but you've given up. Your desire to serve God is not near what it used to be or ought to be. The place where God occupies in your life, not near where it ought to be. He used to be first place. Now, not even sure where he falls in, wherever we got time. Remember what the preacher said last Sunday? What's been on my heart all week? He said, in essence, there are some churches who have little problems. And there are some churches who have big problems. And he mentioned something that burned in my heart. He said the church he went to, there was a youth man more or less having an affair with a teenage girl. And it came out. And I thought, that can happen in churches. And I want to tell you something. Our church needs to be clean. Our church needs to be holy. Our church needs to be without rebuke. And I'm asking the Lord to show me and all of us here if there's anything in our life, maybe it's something small. To us, it seems small. It's that thing the Lord's been speaking to us about. And He keeps telling us, but we haven't dealt with it. We haven't corrected it. We haven't changed it. And He's not going to forget it. That little thing that we think is little, but I want to tell you, little things have big consequences. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's what the Word says. But then especially if there's a big problem, there's a big sin in our lives, I'm asking God to burn it out of us. I'm asking God to get it right or reveal it, because we can't go further with the Lord if something like that's going on. I tell you, I'm just bearing my heart this morning. I guess I need to apologize to the visitors, but I want to tell you something. Our church needs to stand. And if there are some small issues or if there is some big issues, we need to deal with it right now. We need to deal with it right now. I'm asking God to touch our hearts, including me. I'm asking, Lord, please help me to live clean. Help me to love You. Help me not to compromise. Help me not to be affected. Help me not to get depressed. Help me not to get discouraged. Help me not to quit. Oh, don't help me not to be affected by what's going on. Don't give in to it. It can't be changed. He said it shall come, and it is here. What are we going to do about it? go down with it? I hope not. I want to be a part of the remnant. That small group, that very small group who says, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to listen to Him and stay true to Him. And I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to put God first where He deserves. And I want to say something to those who are here who don't know the Lord, who really aren't saved. This morning, my message has been primarily to save people. But you know what? What I preached on is what God said would happen hundreds of years ago. And it's happening. It's happening exactly how He said it would. And if the God who can tell the future that precisely is the one who wrote this book, we better believe what He said. And He said in this book, there's one way to heaven and only one. Not many. Not me and God, only God. Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sin. He rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The only way we can have our sins forgiven, The only way one day I can go to heaven is by going to the Lord, realizing my condition, a lost, oh, pitiful, sinful sinner, deserving punishment, really deserving hell, and going to the Lord and speaking to Him, talking to Him, and say something like, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again, and I trust that. I trust what He did for me. I believe on You. Give me that forgiveness. I give You my life. I give You myself. I trust You. Right now I believe You're forgiven me. And I'm forgiven. Make me a Christian. I want to tell you, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, that's what you need to do as fast as you can. Because according to what this Bible says, when we see all these things happening, He could come at any moment. And I want to tell you, we're seeing it, and we've been seeing it. He could come at any moment. To the child of God, stay in there. Don't compromise. Don't give up. Don't stop. Uncle Bud Robinson said this, oh, Lord, give me a backbone as big as a saw log and ribs like sleepers under the church floor. Put iron shoes on me and galvanized breeches and hang a wagon load of determination in the gable end of my soul and help me to sign the contract to fight the devil as long as I have a vision and bite him as long as I have a tooth and then gum him till I die. Amen. May God give us the God-given determination of Uncle Bud. I want to ask you, I'm done, but I want to ask you a question. What are you going to do with this message? What will we do with the truth that we're in a world under an attack and we can't stop it? All we can do is trust God to help us to endure. Or we're going to be gone down the drain, compromise, wreck, and ruin. And we'll be here next Sunday, but God won't be here. It's my fear. Doesn't have to happen. Stand together.